The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast. I am not Will Brinson, but I am your host, at least for right now. Will Brinson is going through technical difficulties. Hopefully, he's going to be able to join us. But my name is RJ White from Sportsline, and I'm here to talk about the NFL Draft with Sportsline's finest, Alex Selesnick, a.k.a. Prop Stars, and NFL Draft expert from CBS, Josh Edwards. What's up, guys? How you doing?
RJ, what's good? Josh, nice to meet you. I am fired up for the draft, and diving in on a lot of these NFL draft props. So, yeah, ready to break these down and looking forward to chopping it up with you guys.
Yeah, nice to meet you as well. Nice to reconnect with RJ. It is convenient that Brinson decided not to join us today after NC State wins a big basketball game. I'm sure that's a total coincidence. Sure, they don't go hand in hand, but excited to talk about the draft nonetheless.
Yeah, I was the NFL draft editor when Josh came aboard for the CBS team. So we have a lot of experience working together. Great with his knowledge here, really helped fill out that team and dive deep on a lot of these prospects. So I'm interested to hear what he has to say about some of these guys. If you are listening to the Pick Six podcast, last episode in the feed had John Breach, Tyler Sullivan, and Brinson giving you the biggest takeaways from the league meetings. Check it out on the YouTube channel or anywhere you get your podcast. So if you're listening to this, if you're listening to me at all, it's safe to say you like to gamble. Games are still a ways out, but that will not stop us from betting on the next best thing, which is the NFL draft. Please note that these lines and odds are subject to change all the way up to the NFL draft, and depending on the books you're at. We are hitting these lines on Monday, April 1st, and that is not an April Fool's joke, even though me being in the host chair seems like it is, I promise. So check with your book before tailing, and let's get into it. We are going to start with a little bit of an explainer. NFL draft props are relatively new insofar that they really started taking off when sports gambling became legal in individual states, but they're not legal in all states, even those that have some of those that have sports betting just in general. So let's quickly explain what's going on here. So Alex, what is an NFL draft prop bet?
Yeah, NFL draft prop bet, you're essentially betting on, where a player is potentially selected. There's various types and categories like we have, across for games. You can bet on how many wide receivers are drafted in round one, how many running backs are drafted in round one, over under for positions. So yeah, just the different various outcomes that in the NFL draft, you can now bet on what player will land on said team, what player will get picked at said selection. So lots of different options and lots of different angles you could potentially, find value and exploit.
And Josh, I don't know what your experience is with betting on the NFL draft, but how important do you think it is to have a very holistic view of what's going on, a very complete view? You talked some about totals. You could draft not just, how many quarterbacks go in the first round, but how many Big Ten players go in the first round or things like that. So to have that top to bottom knowledge of all the guys that could go in the first round, all the mock drafts you do with the team, how important do you think it is to kind of know front and back who these guys are to kind of know what to expect, especially once you get later in the first round.
Well, it's incredibly important because it gives you some opportunities to take advantage of maybe some value that's on the board. And to go even a step farther, you have to have a working knowledge of what's going on in the NFL in general. So when Kirk Cousins signed with Atlanta, the odds of Atlanta taking a quarterback in the first round dipped significantly because they're likely no longer in the market. Whereas you may have seen a team like Minnesota or Denver, their odds shift up to take a quarterback, especially after the Vikings traded for an additional second-round pick. So everything is about accumulating information and just trying to apply in the best way to potentially allow you to win some bets.
And you talk about accumulating information. I think that takes us to our next point, which is, why can you bet on the NFL draft? You know you can bet on NFL games because you don't know what's going to happen. You might know team strengths and all, but you know teams are competing on the field. So it's this kind of random event that you can put odds on. But this is a bet about information. And information at a certain point is going to get 100%. You know, you would never see an NFL game a minus 5,000 result, but Caleb Williams is minus 5,000 to go number one overall. So based on the info you get, you know, info is imperfect for 99% of the draft. I mean, it's not going to apply outside of number one, really, and it doesn't crystallize really till the last day or two. But you look at what states offer. You know, some states prohibit draft betting. I don't think it's in New York or Pennsylvania, Virginia. I think Connecticut and Rhode Island are the other two, but there's a few states where you can't do it. Some have rules. You shut it down 24 hours before round one. I think Vegas is one of those places in Nevada where they'll take bets until 24 hours before the first round starts. Some allow a little more. Massachusetts, Michigan, you can bet on what the pick will be like two picks before it happens. So if you're on the sixth pick of the draft, you can bet on pick eight, I believe, before the sixth pick happens. So it really just varies state by state. It's not something that is consistent all the way down. And you know, the different states are you know, kind of hit or miss on what they will offer. So that part of it's interesting to me. Alex, how good are the books, do you think, at setting odds, specifically early in this process?
Yeah, I think early on you'll find some value depending on, you know, obviously the category we're attacking. Obviously, this is a fluid process. The majority of my bets are going to be closer to when the draft approaches as information changes on a daily basis. But one thing I would want to relay to our listeners is that the sports books use the NFL draft, or any draft really, to identify advantage players. It's one of the easier ways to get limited on a sports book is by showing that you have an edge betting draft props. So it is something I like to bet. It isn't something I like to, you know, necessarily make large positions and wagers on, because frankly, one wager could ultimately get you limited on a sports book. So just something to remember when drafting or when taking these draft props.
And it's interesting you say you like going later. I kind of like earlier, because I think the books are just going by common info. And if you can drudge up some things that in different positions you can take that are outside of the consensus, which I believe the consensus is kind of overweighted to where the odds state and people just kind of buy into that, you can get some good value on some longer shots. We had Trey Lance at Sportsline to go number three while everybody was still talking about Mac Jones, just thinking that if San Francisco is trading up for a quarterback stylistically, that seemed to be like the guy you would go get rather, you know, and pay three first round picks. So we had that, I think, 40-1, 45-1, something like that. Alex, what do you got?
I would just add to that, RJ. I would say depending on the category, there are certain categories that I like to attack early when the lines open, and there's categories that I like to attack, you know, as we approach the actual draft. So I would say I spread my bets out between right when the lines open and then right prior to the draft beginning.
Good stuff. Okay, now that we've kind of got the explainer out the way, we're going to move on to the biggest, you know, name out there, the odds to go number one overall. I'm looking at this, and it looks like Caleb Williams is up to minus 8,000. I said 5,000 earlier, so you got to bet $80 to win $1. That should tell you the likelihood of him going number one. Josh, is this kind of locked up at this point, or is there any chance at all that somebody else works their way into this conversation?
The only way that I don't think it's locked up is in the event that Caleb Williams has some kind of a medical issue that we're unaware of, because he only shared that with a few teams. So only a few teams will be privy to that information, but to me, I think he's the best quarterback in this draft class. And from everything that I have heard, Chicago is leaning in that direction and has been for at least a month.
If let's say the medicals don't check out, like, and let's just say he's off the board for Chicago for whatever reason, who do you think would be the number one guy for them?
I think it would be Drake May. I think he is slowly starting to cement himself as that second quarterback prospect in this draft class. I know some people may look at the dual threat capabilities of Jaden Daniels, but I think Drake May has a skill set that would more easily translate to the NFL game if he were to have to start today.
So Drake May, we're seeing, is 40-1 to go number one overall. Alex, do you think there's any value in that, or is it just Caleb Williams is so locked in, don't even bother?
I personally feel that it's Caleb Williams is locked in. I don't see really any value as far as the number one pick is concerned. I think the draft really begins at the second pick.
Yeah, I'm on board with that too. I mean, there's nothing I'm really doing with the number one pick. I think we know, obviously, the Bears are going with the quarterback after they traded Justin Fields and Caleb Williams. All indications are it's going to be him. Maybe we'll get some buzz, like Josh is saying, about medicals at some point. But without that happening, I don't think you can even make a, you know, a small play on a guy like Drake May to go number one. So kind of with you guys there. But, you know, we are going to cover the rest of the draft after that explainer number one after the break. So when we come back, we've got some other familiar faces in new places, and we've got some teams looking to trade up and trade around, and we've got some teams looking for new franchise quarterbacks. So we will get to all that after the break. Stick around.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code Odyssey and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Okay, so that was number one. That was what NFL drafts are. Now things get interesting because we're moving on to number two through eight. And this is kind of where the draft opens up. We look at some of the odds for these players. Number two overall, Jaden Daniels is minus 125. Drake May is minus 115, very even between the two. And J.J. McCarthy's even worked his way into the conversation. He's at plus 450 to go number two. So it really feels like it could kind of go any one of two or three ways for this pick. You know, Josh, you mentioned Drake May earlier, who think he should go number one if it's not Caleb Williams for whatever reason. Is it, do you think that applies here to Washington number two? And do you think that that's the direction they will go, or will they kind of buy into the hype more for Daniels?
It's impossible to say anything with certainty because every year we see NFL teams make decisions that we don't personally agree with. Me personally, I would take Drake May, but there is a train of thought where you look at Washington, what they've done this offseason, bringing in Cliff Kingsbury, who has previously worked with Caleb Williams, who has previously worked with the Kyler Murrays of the world. Maybe he prefers a more dual threat style of quarterback, the way that Jaden Daniels, you know, brings to the table. Whereas you look at Adam Peters and his background with San Francisco, typically looking for a more consistent pocket passing type quarterback. So it's interesting to see the two different styles, the two different voices in that locker room that could be making this decision. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. But me personally, I would take Drake May, but I also understand that there could be some value there with Jaden Daniels.
Speaking of two different voices, you're going to hear two different voices in the hosting chair because Will Brinson has finally joined us for the second segment. Will, we covered number one. I'm sure you just think Caleb Williams is going number one. No reason to talk about it there. We covered what draft props are. So you really didn't miss too much at this point. We're in the conversation about the number two pick. I'll let you take away your thoughts on Jaden Daniels versus Drake May versus maybe even J.J. McCarthy, and then you can take it from there.
What's up? How are we doing? Sorry I'm late. I was actually not prop. Josh, RJ, good to see you guys. It was actually like actual, like I was sitting at like my computer, like to like you would think. I totally understand why everyone would think that this is me related. It was like literally my Google Chrome would not load. I was like, no one's gonna believe this. So whatever. I'm here. Go Wolfpack. Incredible Sunday night. As for the number two pick, I mean, I think Drake May's the second best quarterback in the class. And I think I just called Josh saying you could argue that Drake May could be the best quarterback in the class. You know, they switched from that air raid system under Phil Longo to whatever they were running last year. He lost some personnel, didn't have Devontae Walker for the first part of the year. He was bad against good defenses, and that's a concern. But, like, this guy is a prototypical NFL quarterback. The baby Josh Allen stuff maybe works. I mean, I think ultimately that you will see, like, okay, if you took Drake May, like people are like, oh, like JJ McCarthy is like the type of quarterback you would see in a Kyle Shanahan system. That's why Adam Peters is going to go with him at number two. Don't you think that Drake May is exactly what Kyle Shanahan would want if he was actually able to draft him? Like a guy who mostly lives on script, but is able to go completely, you know, off the radar and do use his athleticism in a similar way to like Brock Purdy does. So I think Drake May is the pick at two. And I think it's going to stay at that price for a while because of all the smoke screening and all the interest in trading at 3, 4, and 5. And I would be taking May now because I think the price is, I don't think he's going to get to, I don't think any of these guys with the way that these markets have evolved are going to get to like 4-1, you know, over the next month. So I think if I'm taking May, I would take him, Josh, now at like -115 there.
I also wonder, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, all three of you, because Washington just traded away Sam Howell, a former North Carolina quarterback.
They were best friends. Yeah.
Is that more of an indicator that they could take Drake May or yes. An indicator that they will not take Drake May?
I think that they would not want to have Sam Howell on the roster competing with Drake May for to bring in Sam and like, they would not want to create that sort of friction between two guys who are actually friends. Although it is weird, like you would think you'd want them on like the same team. I think Sam Howell visions himself as a starter, so he wouldn't want to do that. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I tend to agree as well regarding both Sam Howell being traded and also Drake May being the second quarterback taken, second best prospect. Even I do think that there's a conversation regarding him, even compared to Caleb Williams. But as you guys have mentioned, just prototypical size for a quarterback. He's athletic. He's got experience in the Cliff Kingsbury raid-style offense as well. Ultimately, I think he's the second quarterback taken, and I do agree that now would be the time to get him, as you see the odds evening out as Jaden Daniels was the favorite for the last few weeks.
It's interesting you say, you know, take it now. You don't see the odds moving much. Like when I prepared for this show, I was going to say take May. He was +155 at DraftKings. And now he's plus 105 or -105, -115 at FanDuel. I mean, just today, there's been a lot of movement toward Drake May. So I don't know if something's getting reported or that seems to be, you know, that things are getting evened up here. But I think May, you know, once you get to -115, -105 between two, I don't like the value really for any of them. It was interesting that Jaden Daniels Pro Day didn't cement him as number two quarterback level, you know, type of buzz there. So I did think there was value with May. But I think if you like May, the interesting thing is as we go down through the next few picks is what if Jaden Daniels isn't just the third quarterback taken? What if he's the fourth quarterback taken? And there's something to the McCarthy buzz. You could get Jaden Daniels at least, you know, as of Monday morning to go +2,600 to go fifth, which would happen like in a trade up, +2,900 to go sixth to the Giants. And I think if May is really starting to trend toward number two status and these odds are flipping, take a look at those Jaden Daniels odds to go further than people expected in the fifth or sixth. You get some pretty good value there.
Something to keep in mind, too. This is the time of year last year where Will Levis skyrocketed to being the favorite to be taken number one overall.
That was
so you kind of have to take what you hear with a grain of salt and, again, apply it where you think it's appropriate.
Yeah, and I mean, to that same point, like, and I'm sure you guys probably touched on this at the beginning, and I've been hammering this point for, I don't know, 5 years now. These markets are not predictive. They are reactive. If you see, like, Will Levis is a great example. Will Levis became the favorite. There was no chance in hell Will Levis was going first overall. I mean, maybe there was if, like, David Tepper's wife really liked him or something. But, like it's highly unlikely that Will Levis is not going to be the number one overall pick. And ultimately, he became the favorite. There was value there because it's lying season, rumors happen, and there was great value on Bryce Young to go first overall. He's like 2-1 in April. I mean, like that was really good value. And so I think that you'll see this. I was trying to see if Albert Breer wrote anything. Did he have MMQB out today? I haven't seen it. That's usually where you see it, is usually from these Monday morning articles where it's like, this is the buzz, this is the buzz, this is the buzz. And that's where you see that market move. Like Monday, you see a lot of market movement on draft stuff because there's features out. So that would be my guess there, RJ. You're muted.
Sorry, I got some like drilling in the background. I don't know if you guys can hear. So I'm trying to unmute and mute as I go. But it's interesting. I haven't read anything yet in this, but with the odds for number two shifting so drastically, you know, especially this at such a level this far out, you know, I'm kind of interested to see where that came from. You know, you talk about the Levis stuff. There was like some Redditor that said like he was friends with the family and they bought Panthers gear, and that's why that happened. And it was completely nonsense. But
if Carolina had stayed at number nine overall, I do believe that there was legitimate interest in Will Levis being their selection. Yep. So I think when they made the trade up, a lot of people assumed that maybe that was still the case. Whereas the picture had changed. You know, they had different intentions when they made that move. So just another example of how this is all very fluid. And you kind of have to take things not as they happen, because you do have to be a little predictive, but there's definitely things that are going to happen that changes the entire picture of that top 10 draft order.
Yeah, we saw too with like CJ Stroud's pro day when Josh McCown was like dapping him up. It was like, see you in Charlotte. Everybody's like, well, he's the number one overall pick. And like those odds move like crazy too. And I think to your point, there's a decent chance that the Panthers were thinking about taking all four of those guys at wherever they were in the draft. Like they thought at nine, they were probably gonna have the fourth pick of the quarterback, and that would have been correct. The third pick of the quarterback this year will go, in theory, to the New England Patriots. If we assume quarterbacks go one and two. I do think Washington is a little live to trade down. I'm sure you guys touched on this, but I new ownership, you're picking second overall. You hear the old cliche. Yeah, you never know when you'll be picking this high again, even though like most of these teams are up there every year. I think, you know, the whole coaching search thing didn't go great, but now people are kind of hyped up on Dan Quinn a little bit, and they want to get a quarterback for that franchise. So I really don't think they'll trade down. I think they'll stay there and get that quarterback. At three, though, I'm not entirely sold on the Patriots staying at three and taking a quarterback. Now, that doesn't mean somebody else won't take a quarterback. Maybe the Vikings trade up or something like that. But Drake May here, the favorite at plus 115. RJ, Jaden Daniels, the next up at plus 130. And you see J.J. McCarthy, whose odds to go second or third or fourth have really shrunk in the last few weeks because of all the hype around him. I think the only thing you can do is you have to assume either the Patriots stay and take a quarterback or trade out and give somebody else a chance to get one, right?
Yeah, and there are ways it can happen with the Vikings. I mean, I looked for CBS Sports. You know, they could trade to five and give up one first round pick, and then trade to three and give up another first round pick. So basically, take them three first round picks to make that 49ers leap that they went from 3 to 12, make a similar leap for them. So the ties are there, I believe, with what Drake May and the Vikings. We'll see if that happens, if he's available. If these odds are shifting and Washington goes with them, I wonder if they would trade up for Jaden Daniels, or if they're a little more, you know, not willing to pay that big of a price, what the gap is there between Jaden Daniels and McCarthy. So it'll be interesting to see what Washington does at two and how that dictates the rest of the draft. Or does the Vikings just say, listen, we'll take any of these three guys. We'll find a way to trade and get in position at number three. I think we could still see that a few you know, weeks out from the draft. But either way, figure it's going to be a quarterback at number three. New England definitely could use a receiver, but I think that's in the trade down scenario where they can trade down to like five or six with the team trading up to get a quarterback.
My thing, Josh, with the Patriots at three is that it's like, if I think, I mean, and look, it cuts both ways. Like if you like a guy, you need to take the quarterback, but I don't know that roster is ready to drop a quarterback into it. You know, like if you're a smart football team, the Bills actually cost themselves Patrick Mahomes by doing this, because like, we're not ready for a quarterback. So they traded with the Chiefs and moved down, got Josh Allen the next year, but they had to set up their roster to be ready to put the quarterback in. We've seen the Jets fail all the time drafting a quarterback high. They don't have the requisite pieces around him. Nobody knows, but do you think that will factor in for the Patriots here at three at all?
I think it's a consideration, absolutely, because they do have a lot of needs on that roster. At the end of the day, I've always said this, if you have a conviction about one of these quarterback prospects, you have to take the swing when you have the bat, because you don't know when you're going to be given another opportunity. You could be picking number eight overall next year and not be in striking distance to get one of those top quarterbacks. there may not even be a top quarterback prospect in next year's draft class. You just never know. So if you have that conviction about a player, you have to take the opportunity when it is presented to you. But just from a more holistic view of this whole thing, at number three overall, if they were to trade out of that pick, somebody is coming up for a quarterback. So if you're making these bets, you have to take that into consideration, because for what it's going to cost a team to move up to number three overall, I don't think anybody's going to be willing to do that for a wide receiver or an offensive tackle, especially when none have yet to come off the board. You know, there's a lot of depth at those positions in the first round this year. So if they do trade out of number three overall, I still think it's going to be a team with the intention to take a quarterback.
Prop on the fourth overall pick. I'm curious if this is where you get to like think about the markets and like the game theory, if you will, about moving things around. Marvin Harrison, a massive favorite at minus 155 to go fourth overall. If, for instance, we talk about how these are reactive markets, if the Arizona Cardinals and the Minnesota Vikings orchestrated a trade today where the Vikings moved to four and the Cardinals, you know, dropped down to 11 or whatever it is and get the two first round picks or three first round picks or whatever, this market would drastically move. And do you see any value in taking or like sprinkling on some of these quarterbacks to go fourth overall in the event of a possible trade with the Cardinals? Because I think the Cardinals are probably the most likely landing spot for a Vikings trade. We've seen Monty Austin Ford trade down a bunch.
Yeah, I would agree, Brinson. I think if the Vikings were to move up to number four, obviously it would signal that they're very interested in quarterback, likely J.J. McCarthy there. So, yeah, in the event that were to happen, I don't think it's a bad move necessarily to speculate a little bit. We know the Vikings obviously went out, got the second round pick in order to potentially, you know, have more ammunition to potentially move up in the draft. So, again, I think it's, you know, potential landing spot for a quarterback to be selected fourth overall, likely to be J.J. McCarthy, in my opinion, if it is at four. But, yeah, I do think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the most likely candidate to be drafted fourth overall if the Cardinals do, in fact, stay pat.
Josh, do you think what's the consensus right now out there on quarterback rankings? I mean, like, obviously, like, I mean, one, Caleb Williams, and then, but like, I don't know. I look at like Jaden Daniels at 11-1. Here, fourth overall. I mean, it doesn't seem crazy to me that it's Caleb, Drake May, McCarthy off the board, and then Jaden sitting there at four, and the Vikings move up to get him, or somebody moves up to get him.
Yeah. So for me personally, I have Caleb Williams, then I have Drake May, then I have J.J. McCarthy, recently made that move, and then fourth, I've got Jaden Daniels. Now, I've got Caleb Williams and then a little bit of a gap followed by those three quarterbacks. So that's where I think you can find a little bit of value, even if I see May as the second best quarterback in this draft class. I did think it was interesting that Sean Payton, while at the owner's meeting, said that it's a good time to be Monty Austin Ford. You mentioned his proclivity to trading down, but at the same time, you know, when a head coach is willing to come out and say that, it kind of informs you a little bit as to maybe what the league is thinking, or it could be a total smokescreen as well. I mean, you never know. But I did think that was an interesting comment, because it does at least give us a piece of information to kind of project what is going to happen at the top of this draft class.
Any thoughts on four overall, RJ?
Yeah, actually, we didn't even talk about the guy I think is the best bet here at number four overall yet, and that's Malik Nabers. Yeah. You know, there are people that think that he's better than Marvin Harrison. They're very close, I think, for most people. And there are going to be teams that prefer him, especially teams that might be looking for more of a speed element that Nabers, I think, trumps, you know, Harrison there. So getting him at plus 1500 after all three quarterbacks at FanDuel, I mean, that odds don't reflect the reality to me when Marvin Harrison is minus 155. They need to be a lot closer together because I think he is as good a prospect without the name ID. So Arizona seems to be like a team that would benefit from some of that speed that he brings to the table. And so if they're not able to swing a trade, like say three quarterbacks are off the board and the teams looking to trade up just aren't a fan of that fourth quarterback, I think it's as good a chance as Nabers as Harrison, and maybe not as good a chance, but maybe like 55-45, and that's not reflected in the odds market here. So I've already played Nabers. I got it at 10-1. I only have one book here in Florida, so I have to kind of like take what I get. But if you can get 15-1, if you get 10-1, if you even get like 7-1, and Harrison is in the minus range, I just think that's tremendous value.
Yeah, I would agree with that. we've seen, and this, some of this stuff gets a little, especially in like March now that, and other guys know this, we're down to the final four teams in March Madness, NC State being one of them. But like during, like seriously, like during the first 2 weeks of the tournament, a lot of this draft stuff and like the sort of the things that get put out there kind of fall a little bit by the wayside because there's so much going on with the NFL. There's so much going on with college basketball. Like I've seen Daniel Jeremiah tweet at least twice that he knows of multiple NFL teams that have Malik Nabers above Marvin Harrison. I've heard Pete Prisco talk about it too. And obviously the way that things worked out from this particular draft class, I'm about to reference the Henry Ruggs thing. Henry Ruggs was the first overall wide receiver taken. Prisco was talking about that like several weeks before the draft. And yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. is Marvin Harrison Jr. But I agree with you, RJ. I think anything above 7-1, I would say probably, I would look for 10-1, but yeah, I mean like it's entirely possible that like there's some people that might have Malik Nabers as like the number two prospect in the whole draft class, you know, independent of position. Fifth overall. I got lost on my thing. Malik Nabers is the actual favorite here. 2-1 to go fifth overall. Marvin Harrison plus 250. And look, man, like you've seen this a lot with these markets, RJ, where because we're like 5 or 6 years into like heavy draft betting markets, these things have been shrunk a lot because books have been burnt by these. They don't want a ton of like heavy exposure there. I think the fifth overall here, Joe Alt at 5-1. What are we doing? Joe Alt should be the favorite to go fifth overall. The Chargers, this market, RJ, reflects the idea that the Chargers want a wide receiver because they traded away Keenan Allen and they cut Mike Williams. Has anybody been paying attention to Jim Harbaugh? Like the dude wants to meet. He wants to meet up front, or maybe like Brock Bowers. I think those two guys would be interesting. I don't even see his odds on there, but for me, Joe Alt at plus 470 is a smash.
Yeah, and we're going to get into the type of bet, another type of bet you can make, a position of the first player drafted for certain teams. And if you look at the Chargers one, it's minus 150. It's an offensive lineman. So what these odds are telling you at number five is that trade down. You know, this is the spot where people think a trade is going to happen and a team's going to come up and get ahead of the Giants for a quarterback or maybe even for a receiver. If you get a team, you know, looking up to get from the 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever range is that they want to get above for that second receiver on the board. So I think they're really, which is funny because you know the Chargers draft history. I mean, they would never trade down ever, you know, for years right. And years and years. So if they're able to execute one, we'll see, you know, if that's going to happen. I think the odds to go number five are people just projecting that's not going to be the Chargers picking there. So Joe Alt is in play for them there. I think that since they have a great left tackle, I mean, they could be in play for a different one. A guy that's a better fit on the right side, you know, like a Fuaga or Latham or, you know, any of those guys. So offensive lineman is the favorite for the Chargers, but these odds tell you that is probably another team picking here.
Yeah, I think they will absolutely try to trade down. Six overall prop. We've got Nabers again as the favorite. Nobody knows what to do with Malik Nabers. Roma Dunze at plus 470. J.J. McCarthy at 5-1. Joe Alt 5-1. Marvin Harrison Jr. 850. Who's scroll down a little bit further, Harry? I was going to see who's there's like a 20-1, 26-1. Drake May's not falling to six. This is a tough spot because I think there's a chance the Giants try to move up for a quarterback. I don't know that I see something that pops out to me here, particularly at six, though.
Yeah, I would agree. I just think the Giants really need an infusion of talent at the wide receiver position. Last year, Darius Slayton led the team with 4 touchdown receptions. Obviously, I think if Malik Nabers is available here, he makes a ton of sense having 14 touchdowns, one of the most productive careers in 3 years in LSU in college football history. So, yeah, I think Malik Nabers makes a lot of sense. If he is available here at six, I think it makes sense to me that the three top selections are wide receivers because I do think the Giants will ultimately take the highest wide receiver prospect that, you know, is available to them.
Any thoughts here, RJ or Josh?
Yeah, it's tough to know once you get this far down to kind of lock in a specific pick here and kind of play out all the scenarios in your mind. I don't think Odunze is going to be in play because I don't know that there's a situation where they don't go with a quarterback if the top two receivers are off the board. So the fact that he's as high as it is a little interesting to me. I would think McCarthy would be a little bigger. Or like that situation where I talked about Jaden Daniels at 29-1 here. Like if he isn't going to go number two to Drake May, I mean, there is a chance he falls down this far if a team's not able to trade up. Now, the odds for number five tell you there's a team trading up number five. So number six, you're probably looking receiver. You're probably looking Neighbors. You might be looking Harrison. You know, if what I said about Neighbors applies to the Cardinals there at four. So 850 for Marvin Harrison is interesting. Nobody would ever expect to get out the top five. But I think with the quarterbacks the way they are, it's in play.
Yeah, I will follow up on that because I think RJ makes a great point. If you have a team trading up to get that fourth quarterback, let's say New England is the team that trades out. Let's say that, let's say that it's the Chargers that are, you know, whoever is trading out. Most of those teams are going to be targeting a wide receiver, even if they do trade back to that spot, because that is where the talent is in this draft class. So for me personally, Marvin Harrison Jr. is number one overall in my rankings, followed by Caleb Williams and then Malik Neighbors. It's a very tight group at the top, but it's a very good group. So if those four quarterbacks are taken in the top five, you're probably looking at the wide receivers as that next group that comes off the board. So even if it's the Giants trading up for a quarterback, whoever ends up owning that pick is probably going to be looking at the wide receiver position.
All right, let's take a break and we come back. First wide receiver drafted. Is there a way to correlate Malik Neighbors being the first wide receiver off the board? We'll tell you next.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay, first wide receiver drafted. I was trying to do the true odds here prop. Marvin Harrison Jr. is minus 550. Malik Neighbors is plus 380. I think that says it's like 80% chance that Marvin Harrison is the first wide receiver taken. And as RJ mentioned before, Alex, I think that there's probably and Josh notes how high Neighbors is. Like, I think there's a greater than 20% chance Neighbors is the first guy off the board here.
I would concur, yeah. Based on everything that I've researched, it does seem like there are teams that consider Neighbors the number one wide receiver prospect here, especially if we have movement at the top, a team potentially trading out of number four. Just, you know, doesn't necessarily mean the Cardinals, if that's where the first wide receiver gets taken as fourth overall. If the Cardinals move out of that pick, or, you know, something unexpected happens, you know, I could easily see Malik Neighbors getting taken as the first wide receiver. So I would agree there's some value on Neighbors here potentially being the first wide receiver drafted.
RJ, do you like the idea of going after the first wide receiver drafted more or the specific spots drafted?
I like the value at taking up four, especially if you're getting plus 1,000 or better on Neighbors rather than receiver. But, you know, just looking at the odds here, plus 380, I think it does not reflect, you know, the likelihood that he goes ahead of Harrison. So I'm willing to play that as well if that's the odds you could find, or if you don't really like the value on whatever you have available for Neighbors at number four, or you're worried about a trade. Plus 380 for Neighbors has to be the value play here. Even if it doesn't happen, it's going to happen, you know, more than 20% of the time.
Josh, how close are Neighbors and Harrison for you?
Very close. And I think it's going to come down to ultimately what a team values in that position, what they're looking for this specific year. Neighbors is a little bit more quick twitch. So maybe you're trying to find a player that's, more apt to get the ball in space and make, you know, create yards after the catch. in that instance, you'll probably favor Neighbors. If you want somebody that's got a little bit more inside out versatility, you're probably going to lean towards Neighbors. So it's all about what you're looking for in this draft class. I think for the Giants specifically, Neighbors is a really good fit because you've already got Jalin Hyatt there. You've already got Wandale Robinson. So a guy that kind of gives you that missing skill set is, you know, your Malik Neighbors. It's all about what these individual teams are looking for to position. You know, maybe Arizona wants size. Maybe that's why Marvin Harrison Jr. is the favorite there. You kind of have to decipher what a team has done or what a head coach has done or favored in the past and try to make informed decisions on the future, because it's no different than if you're looking at the offensive tackles in this class and trying to pair a left tackle or a right tackle with one of these teams. Not everything is created equally, and you have to know what each individual team is looking for specifically at the position.
Man, look at these first cornerbacks drafted, RJ. It's kind of, I mean, it's like Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo is minus 124, 155 here. I think that's on DraftKings, it looks like. But then after that, it's like, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know these guys. Like, I don't have, like, my cornerback ranking. I don't have, like, a ranking of cornerbacks in this draft class. But I know Nate Wiggins and Kool-Aid McKinstry are, like, well thought around the NFL. I'm, like, surprised that – and Cooper DeJean, like, DeJean, I'm surprised that these odds are so big for these second-tier cornerbacks to go be the first ones drafted.
Yeah, I think the consensus is probably that Mitchell and Arnold are pretty close together. It depends on what value you can get, whether I would play Arnold. It's plus 135 at DraftKings right now. I think that's decent because I think it could be either way. I do think Mitchell is the better prospect. I do think he'll go first, but I'm not that tied to it and feel strongly enough to play him at minus 155 odds or minus anything odds. So if I'm playing anything, it'll be Arnold. I'm just hoping that the team that goes cornerback first prefers him to Mitchell, but there's no like one standout guy you would expect to go first. And even in drafts, you think about where there is that one standing guy like Patrick Surtain too. He didn't go first either. He went ninth, and J.C. Horn, a guy we were talking up, went ahead of him. So you know, you kind of never really know at this position when you have these positions where there's not that one clear cut guy like at edge where Dallas Turner is like the guy above all else.
How do your rankings look there, Josh, in terms of the cornerbacks?
I give the edge to Quinion Mitchell, and that's been the case for a little while now. Even going back to the Senior Bowl, he's been my top cornerback prospect most of the year. He has owned that title because he has that competitive toughness. He's willing to play downhill, help and run support. He tested fantastic at the NFL Combine. You know, he ran a really fast time. So he's checked every single box in this process. So while Terrion Arnold is, you know, a smart, savvy football player that is still probably getting better because he's a relatively young player, he's been coached by one of the greats at the collegiate level. I think for my money, Mitchell is a little bit of an easier transition to envision at the next level, just because I don't think he's going to be up and down. I think he's somebody that's going to rebound play to play, even if he gives something up. So for my money, he's the top cornerback prospect in this class. And you probably are not going to get good value now. I think, you know, before the combine, that probably would have been the case. But to look at it now, even though I favor Mitchell, I wouldn't be surprised if Arnold was the first taken either.
Cool. Sorry, I was trying to coordinate here. I'm jumping to running backs here. Running backs, prop. You look at this market, and it's really fascinating because of how the free agents who are out there, you know, Josh Jacobs, I mean, Saquon Barkley, Austin Ekeler, Derrick Henry. I mean, just unbelievable group of free agents, and you have a really bad running back class. I mean, it's just not a very good running back class. There's not a lot. I don't think there's a first rounder here, and as a result, the books don't really know what to do with this position, because you see almost everywhere else in these markets, it's like minus 150 or, like, you know, Joe Alt's minus 250 to be the first offensive line off. I think there's got to be some kind of potential value here in the first running back taken, just because you're looking at plus money for everybody, right?
Yeah, it's interesting, Princeton. I think, as you mentioned, there's not a clear cut, you know, number one prospect when breaking down these guys. It also seems like there's a chance that a running back, or, you know, forget the first round, there could be a scenario where a running back doesn't get taken in the top two rounds as well. So, you know, really a lot of different things could happen. It seems like it's a wide open race between Jonathan Brooks, Jalen Wright, Trey Benson. I think it's a little bit of pick your poison again. You know, as Josh mentioned, we're looking to see who the best fit is as far as the scheme is concerned here. So, when we're talking about guys who, you know, not necessarily aren't top 50 prospects, any of these guys could get drafted. So, yeah, definitely some value if you're looking and you find what seems like a natural fit between a team that needs a running back and a running back that's available, but nothing that jumps off the page as far as I'm concerned. If I were to pick one, it'd probably be Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. He seems like he has good vision in both gap and zone run schemes, a little more flexibility compared to the other running backs at the top here.
This is a position where I think you take a long shot, you know, because you just don't know. The draft window is so wide for these guys that, like, if I was going to play one of the favorites, it'd probably be Jalen Wright at, like, plus 400 at DraftKings. But, man, I might go, like, Will Shipley at plus 5,000 at DraftKings, especially with the returner value he brings. You know, these teams, once they digest the kickoff rules, might say, hey, we need some returner, you know, somebody that can help us on the return game, do some different things there. So I think that boosts his value a little bit. Also, a little interested in Audric Estime, bigger back, good at receiver, plus 5,000. I think he's worth a sprinkle there too, because either one of those guys could creep ahead, you know, it get picked 55, 62, whatever, before anybody else gets picked, because we just don't know when any of these running backs are going.
That Will Shipley's a great call. Will Shipley's just a good running back. Like, and he's a modern NFL running back. I mean, a guy who can catch the ball. It's sort of like you don't want to say baby CMC, Josh. What do you mean? Like, I don't know what the comp would be for him. But yeah, like, when you're talking about, like, I mean, 50 to 1 to be the first running back taken, like, you get down to, like, the middle of the second round, who the hell knows what the hell these running backs stacked.
Yeah, it would also be nice to know who is picking that first running back, because if it's Jim Harbaugh, probably Blake Corum's odds go up a little bit just because he's been pumping up all of his former Wolverines this offseason. The latest that we've ever seen, since 2000, the latest first running back taken was number 54 overall. It was Bishop Sankey in 2014. I think we could very well see that record surpassed. I mean, I think it could be 55 or beyond that we see the first running back taken this year. If Jonathan Brooks had not suffered a torn ACL, in my opinion, he's the top running back in this draft class. But as it stands, Trey Benson, you know, he's totally healthy at this point. Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, he, you know, tested fantastic at the combine. He's the one that's surging up the boards. Those two are probably the favorite at this point. But I totally agree with RJ in the sense that if you're looking for value at the position, this is one opportunity where I think it makes a lot of sense to take one of those deep sleepers.
Spicy. I like it. Will Shipley is a bet. That would be a bet for me. I mean, if I could functionally speak on this podcast and access my app right now, I would bet on Will Shipley. So I would highly recommend that people do that. All right. Moving along. Do you see the value, RJ, in first defensive player? Or do you want to talk about – actually, you know what? Do you have any takes on that?
No, go ahead. I think Dallas Turner deserves to be the big favorite. I'm not sure there's anybody there.
The defensive stuff is tough here because there's really only, like, one – like, Turner's, like, the only, like, true, like, top-end edge guy. It's hard to see a cornerback going first with the way that this class is sort of stacked out. But we'll see how that plays out. We'll know more when we get closer. The Brock Bowers thing is really interesting. I saw something on FanDuel when I was – snooping around a second ago. I can't log in on my computer because I don't know why. Like, I'm obviously technically illiterate or whatever. Brock Bowers would be a top five pick. And I know that's not what Harry has up, but I'm just throwing this out there. 40 to 1. Brock Bowers is a Jim Harbaugh guy. Like, if Jim Harbaugh is going to do something, it's going to be drafted tight end at fifth overall. I mean, I think they're going to trade out, but I just think that that's worth a look too at that big price. The team to draft Brock Bowers, RJ. The favorites are the Jets at plus 170, the Colts plus 470, the Chargers, you get 10 to 1. So, I mean, I would, if you're, instead of taking the Chargers draft, you could take both of those. You could bet Chargers to take Bowers, but also bet him top five in case they take him with that first pick, right?
Yeah, and he's a great fit if they trade down. And, you know, they get into that 11, 12, 13 range, and he'd be great fit there and great play there. I think the Jets make a ton of sense at plus 170, give Rodgers another weapon. After adding Mike Williams at receiver, a lot of the thought was they would go receiver here just based on the top end, you know, availability of those top three guys if one is available there. I think that's interesting. The sleeper for me here is Chicago at plus 1,000, 10 to 1, to take him in number 9. We see these teams, they like to take their quarterback and pair him with a young weapon in the same draft a lot of the time. But Chicago just traded for Keenan Allen, and they have DJ Moore. And so I don't know if they really want to go to the well and get you know, the receiver there, Odunze, and go that direction, or take Brock Bowers, you know, a guy that gives you a little bit of differentiation at a different position. So I think that's a good one there. If he starts to slip beyond that and the Chargers aren't in that 11 and 13 range and he's going to the teens, I wonder if there's a later team in play that's a trade up that you can dig into the odds and just predict a team like the Bucks at 110-1 or the Chiefs at 140-1 to jump in up there.
Yeah, Rob.
I actually think the Eagles are a viable long shot to take Brock Bowers.
Hey, he went to Georgia.
Went to Georgia. We know Kellen Moore loves his tight ends. We also know the Eagles have a history of just frankly investing a lot of draft capital in the position, especially when they have guys about to get coming off of their first contract. It was Brent Celek that they drafted Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert was a second round pick when Zach Ertz was seemingly in his prime. So would be a very Eagles on brand thing, in my opinion, in the event that Brock Bowers were to slip past maybe pick 10, maybe pick 12 in that range. Obviously I'm not sure if he would go all the way to the Eagles selection, but I could see the Eagles in the event that he is, you know, available in that 10, 11, 12 range, potentially pull the trigger, try to trade up for him.
Could be a great candidate to move up to 12 with the Broncos. We talked about, you know, them maybe going back for a quarterback if they can't go up. So they get to 12. Brock Bowers definitely in play.
And Goddard, by the way, like, I mean, still playing at a really high level, but sneaky 29 years old. Like, he's not he was kind of an old prospect. Yep. And sat behind Ertz for a while. So like, this is, you see it with the Eagles right now. It's a great point. Like, Jason Kelce leaves, they've got his replace. Jason Kelce leaves when Cam Jurgens went to Bama, right? Like, Kelce retires, they've got a SEC guy waiting to replace him. Fletcher Cox walks away, they got two SEC guys waiting, like two Georgia guys waiting to replace him. Howie Roseman loves his Georgia guys. So that actually, I think that's a really good look there as well. Now's the time too, and with these markets, I think you want to be sprinkling on some of the longer shots. Like, when the rumors start to heat up, they'll shrink, and this next month is the spot to do it. JJ McCarthy has his own betting market on FanDuel. Where will he end up? The Vikings are the favorites at +105. The Pats +340. Commanders +380. That number, I think this has shrunk a ton based on the rumors that, Josh, we heard the Commanders were sort of tied to him. Do you think there's any chance, like, you said you moved McCarthy above Daniels. Was that based on, I mean, because, you know, it's hard to do these rankings. Like, it really is. But is that, like, based on, like, you went back and watched the Michigan stuff, and you're like, he's I think I just need to move him up? Or is it, like it was, sort of walk us through that process.
Yeah, it's based on a lot of things. I think he's a more complete passer. And just from my personal experiences covering the draft, that's where it has to start first and foremost. Who's the most comfortable in the pocket? Because you have to be able to do that before you can worry about the other stuff. That's where I made a mistake with Zach Wilson. You know, he wasn't someone that made plays within the structure of the offense. He was rolling the pocket out and making those deep throws. And honestly, that taught me a little bit about what I need to be evaluating and, you know, prioritizing at the quarterback position. So for me, McCarthy is a better passer than Jaden Daniels at this point in time. But I also think he has enough athleticism, enough mobility where you're not really sacrificing a ton at the position. I mean, Jaden Daniels is the best rushing quarterback in this draft class without question. But I think first and foremost, you have to be comfortable with the player as a passer. And that's where I tend to favor JJ McCarthy. I've been a fan of his all year long, going back to the beginning of the season, talking with Ryan Wilson on with the first pick. You know, I've been in his ear all year long about JJ McCarthy. Bowling Green was a little bit of a hiccup in the journey, but we were able to write the course. I just think he's a winner. I think he's got all the intangibles that you look for at the position. Not that Jaden Daniels doesn't, but that's been part of the thought process for me and how I came to McCarthy as the third quarterback.
I don't think we're picking up Brinson. I think your mic is
I was muted. Yeah, I was saying, any thoughts on the – It's my first mistake. It's one of many mistakes I'll make today, I'm sure. The JJ McCarthy stuff for you, RJ, with him, it feels kind of dumb to chase the steam on Washington, right?
Yeah, plus 380, you know, I think that wouldn't need to be a trade down. I don't think at two they would do it, but maybe, you know, Patriots at plus 340 are interesting. Could be at three, could be at a trade down also. So really think it's kind of wide open. I don't love the value on the Vikings at plus 105. I just think that's, with all the range of situations that could happen, why play that plus 105? There's no way any of these teams are close to 50% chance of landing McCarthy. So if you're going to play this prop, definitely look in a different direction than that, because the odds should be a lot closer together than to these other teams.
All right, let's do some over unders. These markets are always hilariously priced. I mean, it's like in the first one, prop over 4.5 quarterbacks minus 250. I think there's some value here on the under at 4.5 at 2-1. I mean, this is like every year. This is like it's crazily juiced to whatever over it is, and idiots like me. Because I've said this a million times. I'm not sure I even believe it anymore. It's like, you got to trade back up into the first round to get the fifth-year option. And we never see anybody. Nobody actually ever does it. Like, no one ever does it. They just take the guy in the second round. It feels like, you know. Do you think there's any value there at the – oh, actually, the under's at a plus 155. So that's shrunk down substantially. But, I mean, I still think I would take under if I was taking anything.
Yeah, full agreement here, Princeton. It's under nothing. Yeah, as you mentioned, I think there's four clear-cut first-round quarterbacks. Then after that, you know, obviously, when we're looking at Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. easily could go in the second round. So, yeah, it's under or nothing as far as I'm concerned. I would, you know, never play something at minus 250 that has such a wide range of outcomes.
Over or under, RJ?
Yeah, the interesting thing, I mean, I don't think you could play the minus 200 on the over, but, you know, we were talking about the Broncos, really need a quarterback, not sure they're going to be able to trade up for one of the top four guys. They don't have a second round pick. So what do you do? And do you stay at 12 and take one? Do you trade back and try to pick up a second round pick and then use that one on a quarterback? Do you trade back? When you're trading back, you're going to get into the 20s. Do you just take your quarterback there? So I think they're interesting. They're linked to Bo Nix in terms of the odds. I believe they're like either plus 100 or plus 105 to take Bo Nix, really seen as the favorite there. He ain't going to do it in the third round. You know, he's going to go before that. So they're going to have to do something in order to make that happen, whether it's trade back from where they are at 12, I believe, or to make a big move where they're trading their 2025 first round pick to be able to get up and get him in the early second round or in the late first round. So I can see why this would be tailored to the over, but you're right. It seems like you hear this buzz about some late first round guys that could creep in and then they don't. And then even last year, they were talking about Will Levis at number one, didn't even go in the first round. You know, it ended up being, you know, number was 4.5 on that year and then didn't even get to 4, you know, because he fell out of the first round altogether.
Over under, Josh.
I would take the under as well. Personally, I don't value Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix as a first-round quarterback. Where it gets a little bit dicey is what RJ was just alluding to, which is an act of desperation. If you're a team like Denver and you miss out on the quarterback run there in the top 10, do you trade back? Is that a possibility where you take your quarterback there? Tennessee did try to get into the first round last year to take Will Levis, so that would have helped it a little bit, but still not gotten betters there. What we often see is these quarterbacks are driven up throughout the course of the process, and then it doesn't always come to fruition. Actually, rarely comes to fruition. We typically overvalue it throughout the process. So to me, I typically lean under towards that prop, but there will be some opportunities, some teams that are sitting there at top of the second round that may say, hey, you know, we'd like to have a fifth round option on this quarterback. Let's get into the bottom of the first round and take a swing at a quarterback. I don't know if the Giants will be there. Of course, Denver doesn't have a second round pick. You know, if they were to trade back, maybe they pick one up. Minnesota, you know, what happens with them? So there's a lot still in play. But to me personally, I don't think we're going to see five quarterbacks in the first round right now.
Over under for offensive players selected in the first round is 20.5. There's no way that like these sports books are not confused about this number. Like, I'm trying to do the math on this. I guess I would take over given this, the nature of this class, but I'd have to think about it more, RJ. You're getting plus money at over, plus 125. Obviously, I mean, you need like what, 12, you can only max out like 11 defensive players, whatever the math is to get there. My point is that I think the way this class is stacked with the offensive linemen, the wide receivers, and the quarterbacks, like you're going to get to like eight or nine, maybe. I think we might be 12th overall before we see a defensive player drafted.
Yeah, I think it's going to be right around this number, 2021-19, somewhere around there. I think there's enough of an offensive line need and good late round one talent at receiver that I expect we do barely get over to 21. But, you know, it's I think the margins are so slim there that I don't know if I'm going to play it at plus 125. And it's also these teams that need offensive linemen could cannibalize themselves by taking receivers instead. So it's not like you're getting an additional pick there. It's just shifting the position. So we'll see what happens there. But it's interesting when you go through like the position of the first pick with a lot of these teams, there are a lot of offensive linemen. And I know we have offensive linemen on here at over under 9.5. And there's more teams than that are favored there to go offensive linemen for their first pick. So I just don't know that there's going to be enough of those prospects on the board when all is said and done. And if not, some team might have to pivot to going with an edge that isn't projected to go in first round or a cornerback. And then all of a sudden that's the small, slim margin to keep this under and go to 20 offensive players.
Sorry, my glasses are fogging up for some reason. Over under, Josh.
Well, if you look at my last mock draft, I would have to say over because I had 21. But I will say, just thinking through it, I think we're more likely to see certain defensive players slip into the first round as opposed to maybe some of the offensive options. So we're already pushing the margins a little bit with that 20.5. To me personally, I think some of the names that I'm hearing could get into the first round are typically defensive players. So for me personally, I think I would lean towards the under here.
Prop?
Not a lot of value on either side. Slight lean to the over.
All right. Wide receivers, another heavily priced market. Over under 6.5 wide receivers, minus 190 to the under, plus 150 to the over. I mean, we talked about this on like the pre-combine pod, Josh. So we listed like I don't know. I think 6.5 is probably too short at that plus price, only because this wide receiver class is loaded. The only concern you would have is if people, like teams, would say, all right, we think we can just get a guy in the second round. Don't need to use our first round pick on him, right? I'll go over here, though.
I'm actually going to go under. I don't think we're going to get 7 in the first round. I think what you will see, you'll see Harrison, you'll see Neighbors, you'll see Odunze, you'll see Brian Thomas. From there, you know, it's kind of anybody's guess. You could get A.D. Mitchell from Texas. You could get Xavier Worthy from Texas, Ladd McConkey from Georgia. So there is a possibility that you could get there. But at this point in time, I think a lot of teams will look at that part of the draft and they'll say, this is a really deep class at the wide receiver position. How much of a difference is there between a guy that could be taken at number 25 overall, number 30 overall, as opposed to the guy that we can get at number 60 overall? I think that will be part of their strategic thought process, and I think we will see an under 6.5 at the wide receiver position.
RJ?
So, yeah, so what's interesting is, I don't know, all the people that were in Josh's mock draft there, but if you like the over on the 20.5 for offensive players, I think you just play this receiver over 6.5 plus 150, because I think you would need 7 receivers to go to get to that number. So, especially if what we're talking about is lean on the quarterbacks too. If you lose a quarterback, then I mean, we're going to get some receivers in the back end of the first round that you should be going for. So I think it's going to be 5 or 6, but I'm not going to play it at minus 190. And I would be more interested in playing the over here than I would the offensive player number.
Prop?
Yeah, I think 7 is a big number personally. So I'd give a slight lean to the under here.
This is hilarious. This is like a legitimately hilarious number. Number of running backs selected in the first round. Have you seen the juice on the under here? This is so stupid. It's like minus 1800. I mean, what do we do? Like, we just don't even put the market up, man. I guess I would take the over because it's 9-1, right, RJ?
No, I'm not playing it at 9-1. I mean, I just don't think there's going to be a running back taken. I'm also not playing minus 1800 on anything. If it was the day before the draft and we still got minus 1800, maybe, you know, I'd play $90 to make $5. But even then, you know, what's the point at that point?
Just take the market.
You're just going to get yourself flagged, like Alex was talking about at the top, by and get limited on other bets you actually do want to make. So. Yeah, this is just one to avoid. I don't think there's any running back going in the first round.
Over under on offensive line. Everybody's taking the under here. Over under on offensive lineman, 9.5. Under is minus 130. Over is even money. That's flipped. Sorry, I read that wrong. Over is minus 150. Under is plus 125. Josh, the offensive line class is stacked. It feels like there's a lot of guys in this class who could. It's like, played a lot of right tackle, could shift inside to guard, might move to center. And I would think that that sort of versatility lends itself to maybe you see more guys go in the first round, but that's a big number.
Yeah, I think that is a big number. That is a big number. And again, it's right on the threshold. As it turns out, Vegas often knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And again, if you're somebody that thinks we're going to get over 20 and a half offensive players in the first round, then you will have to be on board with over 9.5 offensive linemen going in the first round. There's a ton of offensive tackles. There's a lot of interior offensive linemen, guys with versatility that can play multiple positions. We talk about the tackles offense all the time. You've got Joe Alt. You've got Olu Fashanu. You've got Talese Fuaga. You've got J.C. Latham. You've got Amarius Mims. And then the interior guys, you've got Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson. Tyler Guyton is an offensive tackle that could get in there. I mean, you're already up to 8. So there could be one or two other guys that get into that conversation as well. But it's a big number. It's a big number. But if you're over 20 and a half offensive players in the first round, you're probably going to be betting the over here as well.
Too big of a number, I think. 10 is a lot. I mean, you named all the guys you could, and you got to 8, and you're still talking, okay, now you got to go find 2 more. You know, maybe tackle from Arizona is one. You know, just I think it's just too much of a stretch. At a certain point, these teams are going to be like, do we take the 7th offensive lineman on our board, or do we go get Chop Robinson or someone like that? You know, so, I mean, for me, 10 is just a lot. It's interesting. These odds have shifted so much in the morning. The odds that Brinson said were correct, you know, where it was.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, they've shifted now, that much today. That's crazy.
And now just in a couple hours, everybody's pounding this over. I think I'm probably a mock. Respected mock draft came out or something that put a bunch of more offensive alignment in there. So are we going to get to 10 at -150? I definitely couldn't play -150 to go over 9.5. I would look at +125 on the under, but I think that's kind of my lean at this point.
You're over under here, prop.
I don't have a strong take here. Brinson, I'd again just look at the price, considering the number being as big as it is at +125. I'd look to the under here.
All right, hot take before we get out of here. If you can find Peyton Wilson, you know, you're not going to make an NC State reference on the way out. I actually think that the Seahawks might like get weird and draft Peyton Wilson with a first round pick. I don't know. It's just a gut feeling I have. Regardless, everyone knows that Peyton Wilson went to NC State. Throw your pups up. How about that pack, baby? Final four. Unbelievable. What a run we're on. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I will actually be disappearing from this podcast for a week. I'm going to go on vacation. Whatever. I believe Breach will be back tomorrow. Tuesdays with Breach days, and Harry will keep it to Sully and Breach will hold the fort down. You guys always, if you guys help out, obviously appreciate that as well. And thanks for jumping on today. Thank you, RJ, for holding it down while I try to figure out how to operate a computer. For Josh, for Prop, for RJ, I'm Brinson. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you guys.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.